With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, that's so perfect for the final show of the week. It's going fast. This week has flown by, and it's been a combination of work stuff and some really great interviews that we've been pleased to share with you on the show. Some live hits from Tokyo, which has been amazing. But a lot of preparation going into the championship show that we did following the Bucks win. And of course, trying to reach out to Olympians and bring you some of those cool conversations. And then just in general, keeping up with what's happening across the world at the Tokyo Games and preparing for the start of NFL training camps and everything else. So it's been a lot of work. I have said to producer Dave, I don't know, about a dozen times in the last 24 hours, how much I appreciate his hard work the last couple of weeks. But thank you again, Dave. I was planning, I swear to you, this is the case. I really did want to bake on Thursday and bring in some baked goods as a surprise. But it's crazy with the stuff going on with my house. I had one contractor come by on Thursday afternoon, the first guy to come by to look at the holes in my walls and my ceiling, the places that had been ripped out, so that he could take some notes and prepare an estimate. And we were talking about materials and stuff. And this is funny. These two guys knock on my door. So the contractor's in the house. Penny and I are in the house. Contractor's in the house. And we're talking over the possibilities and the potential of schedule and when he might be able to take the job. These two guys knock on my door, young guys. And they were representing some type of a window company. I'd seen their van parked across the street. So they must have been going door to door just to try to drum up business. Two young guys, right? So the easily in early 20s. And they will not take no for an answer. They keep telling me, we're here. We're doing estimates. We'd like to schedule one. We can do it today. We can do it tomorrow. It's a free estimate. The estimate is good for as long as you need it to be. We'll lock it in a particular price. And I tried to cut them off and say, no, thank you. I'm dealing with some repairs that have to be done on the inside. One of the young guys says to me, why are you interrupting me? Let me finish. You're standing on my doorstep, knocking on my door in the middle of the afternoon, and I'm telling you, I've got some stuff going on here, and I'm interrupting you? I've never had any door-to-door salesman say that to me before. Well, why won't you stop interrupting me? Why won't you let me finish?
I think these people just have a mindset. Like, they have to be the most aggressive person on the planet at all times to at any point sell anything.
I've never, ever had someone be so aggressive like that. So three times I tried to say, I'm dealing with storm damage. I can't work on anything else right now. I've got this. But you don't understand. These estimates will be good for the life of... And I said, thank you. Again, I tried to cut in and... Why are you interrupting me? You won't let me finish. So I let him go through his whole spiel. And then the contractor, who recognized these young guys were not leaving, comes up behind me. So my door's open, comes up behind me in the doorway and says, hey, I really got to leave. I'm sorry. I got to go. And I just said, hey, thank you. I'm busy right now. And the young guy who accused me of interrupting him said, well, it was worth my best shot. And then turned around and walked away. Of all things, that makes me not even remotely want to deal with you. The fact that you were so rude about it.
You are also so much nicer than I am. I'm just putting
what would you say?
I would have slammed the door right in their face. Have a nice day. Boom. That's how that goes in my house. See ya.
Why won't you let me finish?
Because I don't want to and I don't
exactly.
have to. Bye.
Because I don't need windows right now. Thank you. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was one of those kinds of days. So the contractor and the two window salesmen, if you can call them that, and then just nonstop phone calls. And as it turns out, Home Depot doesn't do the kind of work that I need. So now I've got to find a local contractor. So I was feeling slightly overwhelmed. I did yoga to try to help myself calm down. But it took a good 45 minutes before I was in namaste mode of any sort. Actually, the best part about yoga, in addition to the exercise, and we were doing balance and core work today, so please don't make me laugh. In addition to the exercise, is the fact that I cannot touch my phone for an hour and 15 minutes. The phone stays where it is, on the floor, away from me where I can't reach it. And that's the best part, is that it forces me not to look at my phone for an hour and 15 minutes. Now, when we were actually in class, I do a Zoom class from home. because I don't belong to the gym anymore. When we're actually in class, the phone wasn't even next to me. So I need to push it even farther away because she wouldn't be able to see me if I did pick up my phone. But that's my thing. You're paying for the class. Leave your damn phone over there. You don't need to pick up your phone while you're doing yoga. So at least it gives me a break from the phone that seems to sometimes never end.
My effort level was outstanding.
What did I say? Joe made me laugh.
Sorry.
Why would you let me finish? Why do you keep interrupting me?
What a guy.
Do you think they taught him that at salesman class? If the customer is trying to tell you that she or he is not interested, tell them you're interrupting me. Why won't you let me finish? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, just force your way in the front door while you're at it.
How about get off my property, jackass?
Exactly.
I did not say that, but I was stunned. I just looked at
him. Might as well just put his foot in like the doorway. Like, I'm not leaving until you buy this stuff. Please. Just go away.
As opposed to, oh, we're really sorry you're dealing with storm damage. I mean, no. Well, how about your windows? No. Windows. Tomorrow. When are you awake? Just, ew, gross. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There was a championship parade on the streets of Milwaukee on Thursday. If you haven't seen some of the videos of Giannis holding his free throw pose, oh, hysterical. They're out there. The Milwaukee Bucks did a bunch of tweeting, their account, did a bunch of tweeting during the daytime and lots of poses with the trophy and lots of goofiness. They've earned all that after a really long year of work and pouring physical and mental effort into all of this. It's worth it now to be able to dance around and to yuck it up with all of your fans on the streets of Milwaukee. So some of my favorites were the moments with PJ Tucker, who he is a hoot. Now, I'm going to assume that he wasn't completely sober, but it doesn't matter because either way, he was really funny. There was one moment where he was going back and forth with the MC of the event, and after she eggs him on and he kind of chirps a little bit, you'll hear from him in a second, she says to him, how about one more swig for the crowd? And he takes this giant bottle of champagne and dumps it all over his face. But then he's like one of those statues in the park where you see the water come spewing out of his mouth again. Well, it wasn't water, but like an angel statue in a fountain somewhere where the champagne just comes spewing back out of his mouth. So then Drew Holiday has the trophy right after PJ Tucker and makes PJ come back and polish off, like get the spit off the Larry O'Brien trophy because it was covered with his backwash. And
the guy is drunk.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, he was really funny, too. So this is part of PJ Tucker, the star of the show in Milwaukee on Thursday.
No, it's crazy. That's what everybody, like, when I came here, they're like, yo, you gotta like show, like you gotta be the dog. And I'm like, we got dogs. Like they just say, like we, like I got here, like we already got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs. And we gonna be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs.
Oh my gosh, so good. We got dogs. They just got to learn how to be dogs. We got dogs. Reminds me of Mark Ingram when he would go on about his dogs and ballers. And so I love how PJ Tucker just, you get to his whole personality. And you know how in your face he can be on the basketball court, right? He's edgy. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He is the guy who will take on the best offensive player on the other team every time and never back down. It does not matter how much bigger the guy is, how much more talented the guy is, whether he's a superstar. I mean, think about the matchup with Kevin Durant and how hard he played KD in the series with the Bucks. So good stuff from PJ Tucker. Wait, we need more. We need more from PJ Tucker. This, I don't know if this is before or after he dumped champagne all over himself.
You can't make this up, man. These dudes.
Oh, this is before.
This organization, what we put together. You can't make this up. This ain't. Nothing matter. Except what's going on right here, right now. That's all that matters. They say what they want. But they gotta say we champs.
They say what they want, but they gotta say we champs. Amen, brother. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. He's my new favorite Milwaukee Buck. We got dogs. Those are definitely Hall of Fame worthy cuts, Hall of Fame worthy performance from PJ Tucker. Giannis, he had his own microphone so that he didn't have to share with PJ Tucker.
Milwaukee, we did it, baby. We did it. We did it, man. Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I like it when he says unbelievable. And then when he says we bleeping did it, he does that over and over again as well.
We got dogs, Jimmy.
Giannis sounds tame next to him. I don't know if producer Dave, if you can find the video. There's a video out there where he's spewing champagne all over the trophy and all over himself. I was not supposed to be laughing. Now my abs hurt. Thanks, PJ Tucker. Thanks a lot. I don't know what people will remember, say, 20 years down the road or 30 years down the road, but I'm not sure we'll ever see another guy like Giannis or have another star, another two-time MVP, NBA Finals MVP with as unique a journey as his.
It's an unbelievable story, and it's a lot of hard work that have paid off. It's crazy that three of us, we're champions. But we got to keep working hard, you know. But, man, if you remember the kids, anybody told us that 2021, 10 years later, we all, three of us, going to be champs, I wouldn't believe it. I know my mom is extremely proud. I know my dad is extremely proud. So I'm happy.
Thousands turning out for the Bucks Championship Parade in downtown Milwaukee, and Antetokounmpo had Baby Chunk with him. Oh my goodness, poor Liam. He might be scarred for life with all of the commotion that he's been a part of already in his short little life. Anyway, Liam and Giannis were atop a bus that was going through the streets. Again, if you've seen the video or some of the pictures, and the fans are chanting MVP, and he holds this pose. It had to be about 30 seconds, or at least it felt that way. Like he's at the free throw line, and he's holding the pose for an extended period of time, and then he shoots the basketball into the crowd, and as you can imagine, Bucks fans eating it up. And you know, of course, that those championship parades in places like New England, they love their boat parades. It's super cool, but it's different. It's different when it's a city, a fan base that hasn't experienced this euphoria in a half century. Think about the number of people who were at this championship parade who weren't even alive the last time the Buccaneers won a championship. Or think about the ones who were and had to wait all the way through. So it was neat to see some of the video, the overhead shots, but also after all the hard work and the months of tension and the months of going through injuries and playing when you're tired. And let's be honest, one big reason why the Buccaneers are in this position to win is because they did stay healthy, where a lot of teams were unable to. But just the war of attrition, they are the last team standing and now get to reap the spoils, so to speak. So a little bit more from Milwaukee as we cap this championship week, heading through these next few hours. Still ahead, Leroy Butler, longtime Packer safety, one of the best Packers defenders in their history. He's got a Super Bowl ring, and he's got comments on Aaron Rodgers. And I wonder, how quickly do Wisconsin sports fans shift from championship parade to we got dogs, man, to okay, what about Aaron Rodgers? Back to the Aaron Rodgers saga. How quickly does that shift happen? Or does it take a while? Or do people not care as much because they're going to be reveling in their championship glory? I suspect that when we get to early next week and it's that universal date where all the other teams in the NFL are reporting to camp, that's how quickly the shift will take place. But I'll ask Leroy Butler about that. We'll do a little QB news later. I'd love to hear from you about this memo that the NFL put out in which it doesn't force its athletes to get vaccinated, but the incentives are such for vaccinated players and for teams that are above the threshold. Right now, there's half the teams that are above the 80% threshold. So the league is actually really pleased with the way that players have taken the step and have listened to what they've said. But for those teams that aren't at that threshold, that still have big-time players who choose not to get vaccinated, now it is their personal choice since the league is not requiring it. And I think because the league isn't requiring it, teams are not allowed to require it either. There will be a competitive advantage because of how they can use their weight rooms, how they can practice, how they can travel. I can certainly see some teams, some front offices deciding, hey, we just need to let this guy go. We can bring someone in who's vaccinated, not necessarily because of health and safety. Let's be honest, this isn't about health and safety. It's about not wanting to lose any competitive advantage, not wanting to be at a disadvantage because you don't have your guys all on the same page. I mean, the restrictions that were in place last year still apply for the upcoming season for those athletes who are not going to get the vaccination. And, you know, it's Cole Beasley's talked about it. I saw other reaction on social media as well. Jalen Ramsey. We've certainly heard the debates outside of the world of sports. The NFL, maybe there's some spot in its collective heart that is worried about the player's safety and their health. But I would say unequivocally, the driving force behind this is the fact that they don't want to lose any money. They don't want to have to postpone games. They don't want to see another shut down. Of course, that's not entirely in their control, but they don't want to have games pushed off their regularly scheduled dates. They want the schedule and the season to go forward as smoothly as possible with full capacity crowds. Remember, all 32 cities, all 32 franchises will be allowed to have full capacity crowds if they sell the tickets. They're all going to have fans. The league wants this season to get back on track in terms of its ticket revenue, in terms of its fan participation, in terms of its revenue. And so because of that, and because of the TV money that's riding on it, they don't want interruptions in their schedule. They don't want postponements or cancellations. They don't want forfeits, which is why they are warning teams and warning players ahead of time, this is what's going to happen. Thinking that there will be enough peer pressure and that those who are unvaccinated will be in such an ostracized state. I mean, they will be separated in such a mighty way. I don't even know how you can be part of the team if that's how it's going to be. It just, and I'm not saying it's right or it's fair. Life isn't fair, but this is a private business. And so it's allowed to set the rules however it wants. And these owners with their individual franchises, while they work together with the league and they work together with each other, I mean, they're private employers. They can set up the rules the way that they want to.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I worry about what's happening out here around the economy, the COVID, and I worry about our place in it, in the NFL, and where the place is in sports. I worry about that. But the thing that means the most to me, and I care about, and I could probably be anywhere in the world I want to be right now. I want to be here with our team.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
An emotional Jerry Jones in the Cowboys introduction at training camp, Oxnard, California, on Wednesday. And even after he dropped the bomb on us, well, dropped the bomb, he dropped the mic on us, or he could have kind of missed the opportunity to drop the mic, when he said he'll do anything known to man to get to the Super Bowl. That's a fact. Then, as he's asked about being in Oxnard with the team, despite what have been some rising COVID infection numbers and now a new indoor mask mandate in Los Angeles County. That's not where they are, but parts of California reinstituting the mask mandate indoors, regardless of vaccination status. So a reaction to what has been rising cases and a higher percentage of cases connected to the Delta variant. He gets emotional talking about how, I get it, there's some uncertainty for our economy, certainly in the sports world, but this is where I want to be. I know, as someone who is removed from it and isn't on site but covers football, I will not forget how I felt, the emotions I felt, and the relief in seeing the NFL kick off its season last year. And every week that went by, being able to let my guard down just a little bit. Not that there weren't going to be interruptions and not that there weren't going to be games moved around, and that turned out to be a major theme of last season, but recognizing that the NFL had figured it out. The NFL had gotten to the point where they had a blueprint, they were willing to do whatever it took, use every day of the week to get through its schedule. But this year, I can understand why they're committed to doing it by the book, so to speak. They're committed to not interrupting the schedule for as many teams. In fact, trying not to at all move games around, though they will consider it if there is an active outbreak or there could be an active outbreak on a roster. What they aren't going to do is go to the moon and back and interrupt everyone else's schedule and throw the competitive balance and what they call schedule integrity into flux and out of balance in order to accommodate one team. So they're not going to bend over backwards in the upcoming season to accommodate one team or one franchise. Think about what happened last year with the New England Patriots, and they had a couple of guys that tested positive, couldn't make the trip to, was it Denver, where they were supposed to go? Their game gets moved. And then, of course, you got guys who come back after 3 weeks, they haven't practiced. And so they're also in a situation where they're kind of flying by the seat of their pants. How about the Baltimore Ravens? And I know I heard from a lot of Ravens fans. Their Thanksgiving game gets canceled because the Steelers have got an outbreak. Then they end up moving it to, what was it, a Wednesday afternoon? Which cut away some of the preparation time for the following week. You remember the Broncos had to play a game without any quarterbacks. Though the NFL got every game in and crowned the champion on time, they don't want to see that much of an interruption. But this memo places the responsibility very clearly at the feet of the franchises and says, okay, if it's because of unvaccinated players, you have no excuse. So they do acknowledge there could be an outbreak on the team with players who've been vaccinated. They do understand that's a possibility. But they're saying, as much as you can control it, athletes, as much as you can control it, teams, you better do everything you possibly can to prevent this type of situation, because we're not going to go out of our way to accommodate you and your schedule. We're not going to disrupt the rest of the teams on your schedule, the rest of your division, the rest of the league, and we're sure as heck not adding an extra week. Now, they didn't need it last year, but that was always a possibility. And as I mentioned earlier, according to Roger Goodell, more than half of the teams in the NFL are above 80% vaccination rate, which is really impressive. But I suspect it's because of this. It's because the disparity is so great between the players who have the shots and the ones who don't, in terms of their freedoms, in terms of what activities they can engage in. Essentially, protocols are going away for players who are vaccinated. You don't have to wear masks. There are no restrictions on how many people can be in the weight room. There's no restrictions on practices. We knew this going back a few weeks. Such a great disparity that if you don't have any opposition to the vaccine, why wouldn't you get it? Maybe to that point, you just didn't, whatever. You didn't feel like it. No biggie. You didn't want to stand in line or whatever. I didn't get the vaccination right away either. I waited until I was about 4 weeks out from going to see my grandmother. And that was my incentive, is I didn't want any restrictions when I went to see my grandmother. The rest of my family had already gotten vaccinated. I didn't want to stand in line either. And in New Jersey, the lines were crazy for a while. So if you're one of those players that doesn't have any opposition to it, but just hasn't done it yet, well, then this is your incentive. If you don't want to have to deal with masks and social distancing and restrictions on what you can do and how you can hang out on the road, whether or not you can have visitors, whether or not you can leave your hotel. Heck, if I remember correctly, there's even some line in the original memo about how you can't eat with the rest of your teammates. If you're not vaccinated, you have to be all spread out. That takes away from the team experience. And as some athletes are talking about, it also puts you at risk to get cut if you're not a star player. So it's a competitive disadvantage for those teams that don't meet the threshold because some of their guys can't participate in all their activities. But I would say it also puts you at danger of losing your job and losing your spot on the team if the rest of the team is vaccinated or the majority of the team is vaccinated, but you're not. Now, is DeAndre Hopkins in danger of losing his job? No. But is a lesser wide receiver or the third tight end or a backup offensive lineman in danger of losing his job? Uh-huh. Here's something that I'm not sure about, and we can talk through it after the break. This idea that if you don't get vaccinated, it means you don't want to win. That's a stretch to me. And it leaves me with a weird feeling, especially when it's coming from inside the NFL. I'm not sure that's the right incentive to tell your players who to this point are not vaccinated, well, you clearly don't want to win. It's just, And I don't think that it's necessarily true either. But we can talk about it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
My arm feels a lot fresher, if you will, just because at this time last year I had thrown thousands of footballs trying to get ready for this, and this year today was the first day I've thrown a ball since minicamp other than throwing to my son in the backyard. So it feels more normal of an off season, if you will. So my arm feels really, really good.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
That's good news for Steelers fans. Well, those of you Steelers fans who actually wanted Ben Roethlisberger to return as quarterback. I've heard from a fair number of you who were interested in moving on, but you've seen the photos. He definitely looks like he is in better shape than he was last year, and he says his arm feels better because he hasn't been throwing constantly as he did a year ago to try to recover from the elbow injury and the layoff when he wasn't throwing because he could not. Roethlisberger's first comments from camp, even as the Steelers are just getting started looking ahead at the Hall of Fame game against the Dallas Cowboys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Per the usual, there's local reporters who tell these athletes, well, you know, everybody's talking about you and your photos and how you look.
Are things being said nationally about me?
A little bit here and there.
Oh, okay. Well, what's new?
Actually, I don't buy it for a second. I'm pretty confident that Roethlisberger knows exactly what's being said about him. Some athletes I might buy that they're completely clueless and don't actually care, but for the most part, especially when they go out of their way to pretend like they don't know what's being said about them nationally, they're usually pretty clued in. And if it's not them personally looking at social media or reading tweets, yada, 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 then it's someone who's keeping track of all that and then reporting back. 855-212-4227. We'll get a little more of Coach Tomlin and Big Ben. But first, I want to talk to KJ, who's in Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello.
Hi, KJ.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I just want to get your thoughts on what you think the NFL is going to do if there's an outbreak between vaccinated people. Because we've seen in the NBA and the MLB and even with the Olympics that, you know, the vaccine helps, but it isn't, you know, 100% guarantee.
Well, right. It doesn't make you immune from catching the virus, for sure.
So I was just wondering if they're going to, you know, stick with the same thing if an outbreak, you know, comes about between vaccinated players as opposed to unvaccinated, because in the memo they specifically say unvaccinated.
Right. Well, there is a portion of the memo that deals with an outbreak potentially among vaccinated players. And this is what the league has said about that. They will try to minimize the competitive and economic burden. I'm reading it verbatim. We'll try to minimize the competitive and economic burden on both participating teams, meaning probably if the outbreak is among vaccinated players, they're not going to hold the team responsible for paying the tab. So it just to give you a little background, if there's an outbreak among unvaccinated players that leads to a postponement of a game and then a loss of game revenue, that team that's responsible for it, if the players are unvaccinated, then would have to make up that portion of the revenue sharing pool that is lost from losing a game. I would say that the league is going to do absolutely everything it possibly can not to lose a game, especially, as you point out, if it happens with vaccinated players, because then they really don't have much cause to go back to that team and say, hey, you're going to have to pay for the fact that this game, you know, caused us to lose, you know, an entire stadium full of ticket sales or a TV game, that type of thing. But yeah, it's definitely a fine line to walk, because if you're going to go out of your way to try to make sure every single game on the schedule is played, then you're likely not going to see many forfeits. But are you really going to stick to the forfeit and actually give up that money if it's unvaccinated players versus vaccinated players that are responsible for the outbreak on a team? It just seems like you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. Or in this case, you're just trying to make a point when you could find another time to play that game, but you don't because it's unvaccinated players that are responsible. You're still seeing a lot of athletes that would be losing game checks. And that's kind of icky.
All righty. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, KJ. Do you think he had any idea what I was talking about?
It didn't seem like it.
Do you know what I'm talking about? I understand it's convoluted. But if the NFL is saying, hey, teams, if your guys are vaccinated and you still have an outbreak, we'll work with you to do everything we can to make sure that we reschedule your game, that it doesn't throw off your entire schedule, and this is one example, that you don't lose your bye week, or that your bye week isn't week two, and then you have to play the next 16 weeks in a row, if your guys are vaccinated. But do you think the NFL is really going to go out of its way to cancel a game, cause both teams to forfeit checks, just to prove the point that, hey, we told you if you didn't get vaccinated and you have an outbreak, it's going to fall on your shoulders? Do you really think? I don't know that the league would do that because I think they'd rather have the money. To me, this feels more like a scare tactic. I got to be honest.
I agree. And I think that before first snap of game one, they'll change this if they're not going to follow through with it, only because the NFL seems like the organization that once they say they're going to do something, they do it. Like last year, they said, this season's going, whether you're on the bus, in front of the bus, under the bus,
under
wherever
the bus.
You are. Yeah, wherever you are, you're holding on, you know, to the bumper on the back. The season started and it finished as it did. So I think once it gets going, they're going to stick with whatever it was. But I think right now it's just to incentivize, and I think it is a 100% scare tactic. And they're hoping that every team gets to a level of vaccination, that, you know, the rate that they want, and then they don't have to worry about it.
Mm. It's not impossible, obviously, to figure out where an outbreak starts, but it's not always easy to pinpoint. You don't necessarily know who ended up with the virus first. And because we know that vaccinated humans can still be carriers of the virus, even though they don't get sick. I mean, we've seen that with multiple Olympic athletes who are vaccinated, but have come down with the virus. The point of the vaccination is that you're not likely to get seriously ill. If you've had your shots, what it does is prevent you from falling ill from the virus and having serious ramifications. So as more and more Americans are vaccinated, what have we seen? Not so much that the numbers, the percentage of positive tests are staying down, because they're not. They're creeping skyward with the Delta variant. But what's still extremely low is the number of hospitalizations and absolutely the number of people who are passing away from the virus. So that's the point of getting vaccinated, is that it's 99% effective at preventing illness. But it's not always possible to know who had the virus first. So yes, they have contact tracing. It's just, to me, this is more about the NFL, as you say, not messing around, not want to see $1 of its revenue go by the wayside. So if you can throw the word forfeit out there, if you can throw the word or the phrase loss of game check out there, then maybe you make it not just a greater incentive, but you also, you draw the line in the sand inside the locker rooms. The guys who are vaccinated, the guys who are unvaccinated, there could be a clash there. Let's just say, worst case scenario, a game is forfeited. You're going to have people pointing fingers like, this is on you, not just from locker room to locker room, but inside a locker room where guys who are vaccinated are likely to be pissed off because they just lost a game and they're going to point fingers at the guys who didn't get the shots.
And that's a really good point. And I think that the team, each team is going to avoid that at all costs. So I'm not saying people are going to flat out lie, but you might get a team that says, well, clearly, you know, patient zero was someone who was vaccinated when maybe it wasn't.
Interesting.
You know?
To protect the guys who weren't.
And then also get the game played. Because if they're sticking with this policy and they say, you know, we just admit that an unvaccinated player started this outbreak, then the game will get forfeited.
That's but a if pretty we say, extensive conspiracy theory.
Well, this is where my brain goes to think about the NFL and each team saying, we want the money, we want the game, the NFL wants the game. So let's just say that player X, you know, who is vaccinated, is the start of this outbreak, so you can't make us forfeit. Meanwhile, maybe it wasn't.
And as Cole Beasley pointed out, those players who are vaccinated are only tested once a week, if I remember correctly, unless they're going to change that. Other guys have to be tested daily, the ones who don't get the shots, which is part of the incentives, because guys are tired of being tested. But if you're only tested once a week, then you could have had the virus for days, and this could get dicey. It really could. I hope that it does not become an issue. Last year, the NFL did a masterful job at moving forward, so I hope it doesn't become an issue. But I could see some divisiveness among players and certainly some divisions in locker rooms if they don't get above that threshold. Dan's in Michigan. Dan, you got about 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Amy. You sure can black my call after I say this, just like you did with my other phone. But Dallas, Detroit, NFL playoff, party bus, pick up a flag, and it's straight up ludicrous that the NFL and Goodell are getting away with all this BS. And I'm going to tell you something straight up. This COVID thing, I haven't had a shot, but I keep wearing my mask. Straight up.
Great, Dan.
I wear my mask all the time, and it's like I'm tired of people saying that the best thing that ever happened was wearing masks.
Okay, Dan. But, well, I appreciate you sharing that opinion with us. We're kind of getting off the beaten NFL path there. By the way, I do not have the ability to block phone numbers, so I'm not sure what you're talking about. That's above my pay grade or below my pay grade. I have no idea, but I don't even know what your phone number is, so I can't possibly block it. I don't see numbers in here. I don't know if it's BS. I mean, the NFL is in the hole, like many other leagues are when it comes to revenue because of the lost ticket sales from a year ago. They're determined not to have that be an issue this season. They feel like they've got a lot of revenue to make up. And so they're putting the onus on the teams themselves, which means the owners are on board. Now, again, you're talking about some dicey territory. How do you always know who patient zero is? You don't. How do you know if it started with an unvaccinated or a vaccinated player? You don't.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.